yard dash. As I've said many times, I am not built to run long distance physically. Never have, never will be. I will never be a mile runner. It's not going to happen. I'll never run the 2 mile. My brother and my sister did. They were great at it. I'm built for short distances. I'm built for the 100 yard dash, but really I'm built for like 20 yards. And especially now that I've turned 40, I'm built for like 10 yards. Me and Brother John will race after this is over. But the Christian life, as we know, has been, by Paul, been illustrated by way of a race. And this is no short race. It is a marathon. And understand along the ways that there's going to be many different battles. There's trials that you're going to face, financial trials, schisms in the church, people that I've had this other preachers tell me all my life, the people you help the most sometimes hurt you the most, and I just want to just encourage you all that I can and say that's true. And just remind you that there'll come a time when the bills will be too much and there won't be enough money to pay them. You know, there'll come a time when there's a hurt in your family, something with your children, whatever it may be, friends forsake you, something with the city or the city council, or the county won't give you a easement to put in a second driveway. I mean, all these things can drive you crazy. And I'm being flippant right now, but understand that those are real things. It's real things to our church. I want a second driveway. We need a second driveway. And those are things that you're going to deal with, things you're going to have to deal with, people that you have to deal with. By the way, if the church didn't have any issues and the church didn't have any problems, why would they need you? I mean, I'm talking about the pastoring part. The preaching part, that's God called, and we're not paid to preach. But I'm paid so that I can be freed up to pastor. And I'm glad our church does that. But in the pastoring, sometimes, that part of it, there are so many things that you're going to do. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness. Paul endured. And I'm not going to go over and read it because of lack of time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he was shipwrecked, he talked about all the things that Paul went through. Imagine that. Bit by snakes and just all whipped and beat and imprisoned and yet continued to endure. Endured, endured, endured. I am not an endurance runner. I'm not made for it physically, but I want to tell you. By the way, I'm not physically made for cross training, whatever you call that. But I work at it. You've got to be a cross trainer. It's not about whether you can lift 300 pounds, it's whether you can lift 50 pounds 50 times. Am I making any sense? Endurance. Endurance. It's not about the short term. It's not about the flash in the pan. It's about burning, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. I don't want to burn out. I want to rust out. I think that's been the way it's been said a few times. Then number three, focus. Focus. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Well, we need to be focused. We're not to be entangled with the things of this life. Christians, we're not to be entangled. You know, whether it's money, it's popularity, as a preacher. And I'm encouraged by your testimony. It means a lot to me, and I know it does to our church, that you would leave a job in Wichita and come down here and go to school. That you leave a great paying job to do that. I don't believe that money motivates you at all. And I know your testimony. The first 3 years of ministry, And my ministry, I worked a part-time job. And I know you're willing to do that. It's not about the money. God's good, isn't He? It's not about popularity. We must understand and stay focused, not entangle ourselves. It's not about hobbies. Some preachers got some hobbies that causes a lot of problems. Some preachers like to golf. Some preachers like to fish. Balance. Balance. There'll be times, and you know this, you've seen it, you're at my house right now, staying there. I may fish once or twice a week, and then all of a sudden I may not fish for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. It depends on what's going on. All you preachers are the same way. Don't let hobbies interfere with your ministry. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a hobby, whatever that may be. With an engineer, what would that be like? Math? No, I know you. Brother Doyce is unique in that he's also very creative and can do lots of things, draw and create with his hands. It's amazing. But stay focused. As Christians, we ought to stay focused. When we get so entangled in the things of this world and just get totally off track. We need to keep our eyes on winning the battle, to fight the good fight of faith, be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fight, of course, fighting with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the revealed body of truth, and taking the Word of God and going forward with it as God leads us. Staying focused, keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing, let me tell you what the main thing is. The main thing is preaching. In your church, the main thing is preaching. The preeminence of preaching, by the foolishness of preaching, the Bible said. And we have our musicals around here. We do other things, but it's the preaching of the Word of God that should stay preeminent in your church. It's not about how many dramas you have or how many music groups you bring in. It's whether or not you keep the pulpit red hot and preach the Word of God. And then number two, personal evangelism. Now, this would include the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptize them and disciple them. Remember, the Great Commission is threefold. It's not just winning people to Jesus. And you know this. And listen, if you go to Boise, Idaho and win a bunch of people to the Lord and don't baptize them or disciple them, you're not going to build a church. And so he knows that. And understand the Great Commission. But the main thing is preaching and personal evangelism. And I put a third one in there too. I think today has been this has been my burden this year, is prayer. We ought to be Christians. We ought to be people of prayer. Get on your knees, Brother Doyle. Stay on your knees. What is that saying? The devil trembles at the weakest Christian on his knees. Boy, I would quote Dr. Barber here, but I'll go on. Motives. Motives matter. That they may please Him who hath chosen Him to be a soldier. Motives matter. One day, as Christians, we will receive rewards. And those rewards will be based upon our motives. Whether what we were doing and what we did for the Lord was for our glory or for His glory. And we need to be reminded of that on a daily basis. Why do you teach that class? You know, why do you come out soul winning? Why did you go across the street to give that person a pie? Motives matter to the Lord. And one day we will not give an account for the Lord. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, we will not give an account for our sins. But we will give an account for our works, whether they be good or bad. So, Brother Doyce, just encourage you, motives matter. That your job and my job as a Christian and as a pastor and as a preacher is to please Him, to glorify Him. Your purpose is not to glorify, your purpose is not to please the congregation. Amen. Your purpose isn't to please a deacon or a trustee or whomever. Your purpose isn't to please your wife or your friends. Man, your friends may go to the left, way out there somewhere, but your job isn't to please them. It's to please Him. Don't seek to please the crowds. Jeremiah didn't. Told not to. Not our job. Our job is to please Him. Christians, not our job to please everybody around us. By the way, if you'll please Him, everybody around you will be all right. It'll affect all the others. Just please Him. Now, Sandy, I know you're going to encourage Him. You're going to uphold Him. I know you. Just hold His hands up and be to Him the wife that He needs, especially when it comes to the tough times. I know you will. Why? Because He's chosen Him. He's called you, Brother Doyce. Chosen you. Chosen you to do what? To please Him. He's called you. By the way, the calling of God is without repentance. There's no turning back. There's no quitting. Tell the truth. Tell it to others. Teach them to tell the truth. Stand strong for the grace of God. Endure hardness, knowing that there's going to be tough times. All of us have faced that as a Christian, but especially as a pastor. Focus. Focus. I don't know how many times, and our church would testify to this, that my focus has gotten out of whack. And every time, it doesn't just affect you. It affects the congregation. I've learned that. I wish there was some way I could tell you, don't lose your focus because it just doesn't hurt you. It hurts the congregation. But you probably will a time or two, and you'll have to learn it yourself. And I don't say there's any of us that don't lose our focus from time to time. We still do. But realizing it's not just affecting you. It's affecting, keep your focus. Keep your focus. Preaching and personal evangelism, prayer. Keep your focus, your daily devotional life and all these things. Keep your focus. Keep your heart right. Make sure your motives are right. Constantly be willing to address yourself and to evaluate your own heart and evaluate your own message and your own ministry and being careful in these areas. Remember who called you. Remember who called you. There is no quitting in the ministry. I'm just here to please Him. I heard this illustration to see if I can tell it without messing it up. There was a story told of in the Civil War, and they were fighting this huge battle, and one of the sergeants was behind this young man who was firing, and they were, you know, in the heat of the battle, and this young man got hit in the arm and could no longer lift his weapon up to fire it. And so the sergeant steps up and says, "Hey, go to the rear." Takes his gun away from him and says, "Go to the rear. Go to the rear of the battle." And the young man doesn't really hesitate. He turns around and starts towards the back, to the rear, and gets back there and kind of goes to one side, and they're fighting over there still, and gets to the rear over here, and over to the right side, there's fighting going on over there, and gets to the rear of the rear. They're fighting there. He finally runs up to the front line again, takes the gun back away from the sergeant, says, "There is no rear. There is no place. There's no place where there's not fighting going on." And I can tell you right now, Brother Doyce, there's no place where fighting's not going on. You know, if one church has an issue, you can run off to another and it'll have the same issues, because all people have the same problems and all people have the same issues. It's this way in marriage. It really astounds me how many people will leave one spouse, marry another spouse. They're just like them. So you just left that one, the other one's just like him. I'm telling you, it amazes me. So there's no retreat. There's always going to be skirmishes. There's always going to be little battles. And man, just endure hardness as a good soldier. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Paul's encouragement of young Timothy, and Lord, the example that he set for us. And I pray that You would help us, and You'd help Brother Doyce and Miss Sandy and Ashley and little Doyce. Should be with them and strengthen them for the good work. Lord, You do what only You can do in their life. In Jesus' name.